Tell me when. Wait, was it going then?
Hey friends,
welcome to Inside Out Growth Podcast,
hosted by me, Molly,
and me, Paris.
From fitness to friendships
and self-love to studies,
we're here as your friends. So chill out
and relax
whilst we help you to grow on the inside
to glow on the outside.
Hi guys.
Hi everyone.
Welcome back to another episode of Inside Out Growth Podcast.
Who would have thought we'd see the day? I have had people come and be like, are you and Molly like okay?
Really?
Someone said that to you the other day. I was like, oh my god, yeah, we're just really, really busy.
I suppose because like last, well, when we were doing them last, we were at uni.
So yeah.
Now I've obviously graduated, you're still at uni. And I've moved away from uni. So it's like, just when I'm back kind of thing.
Yeah, which we also like, we're both, even when Molly's back, like she's got plans as well, so it's kind of like hard to schedule it in, and now we've finally got the time to do it together. This morning we now both have changed gym for the better, in my opinion. Just gonna say how it is. And now we go to a different gym and it's so good.
And it's, yeah, I think it was very nice surprise to see Paris this morning.
Yeah, it was so sweet. And yeah, also like old days.
We're all good. We haven't fallen out, broken up.
Who would have thought? It's
all
good.
We've just had a long time apart because, I mean, if you think about it, I think our last episode was probably in like June.
Literally in my other house.
Yeah, in your other house. Living room. And then we went home for uni, and obviously you don't even live in England.
Yeah. And then you went away traveling. Yeah. Oh my gosh, big, big moves. Well, we'll do a little life update for you all, just so you can kind of keep in the loop. To be fair, I'm just literally at uni, so it's kind of all the basic stuff. But Molly is out in the big bad world.
I'm out in the big,
on her runs.
Scary bad world.
Yeah, give us a little update.
It is scary, but I did do a podcast episode, a couple episodes ago about this and like about not going down the conventional route after uni, which is like grad job, like corporate world, London. Like I know that just really overwhelmed me, and that was always my plan.
I'm in the thick of it now. I'm like, can someone please just not ask that as small talk anymore? I'm so bored.
I know. And then like, I get when people do ask that as small talk, I'm like, oh my god, am I doing the right thing?
Especially when you're doing something different to everyone else.
Like I walk my dog in the mornings now with my dad. Aww. Now that I'm back at home, and then he was just talking to one of his friends, and I was like, oh, like, what are you doing now that you've graduated? And I was like, oh, I'm gonna go into like fitness, you know, like online coaching. He was like, oh, so you did like sports and exercise then? And I'm like, no, I did history. And just the look was so weird.
Yeah,
but it's gone from being like, oh, so you study history, are you gonna become a librarian then? To like, oh, like what?
Yeah,
what,
you're gonna be a PE teacher. Like,
So yeah, no, I'm out in the big bad world, and I'm actually loving it. I'm loving like having a break from education because I was very like, I don't know, I worked pretty hard, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
You definitely do burn yourself out, and it's nice to, like, be able to do stuff and learn stuff because you genuinely want to.
Yeah, enjoying it. Yeah. And you wake up and can be motivated to, like, get your laptop out, like, get to work.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, also, I was saying this morning, Molly's content has been amazing, super consistent, and also, like, prosies, my protein, like, fuel 10K, like, she's been racking up all these new sponsors, which is super cool. Also a huge credit to like what you're doing in your free time. Like, you haven't just left uni and be like, right, fitness industry, see what comes my way. Like, you're grinding hard, so
you do have to work hard. But as said, like, it doesn't feel like I'm working. Like, when people are like, oh, you're working so hard, I'm like, am I? Like, I'm just doing something that I like really enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys didn't know, I've just written a mindset guide.
Yeah, girl.
It's available to buy now. There's like a little link in my Instagram bio. But like, for me, that was so fun writing it and sharing it with people. And like, when people message me and say like, that's so helpful, like the advice is like life changing, I'm like, what? Like, how? Like, how have I produced this? Like, this is just like,
well, your experiences as well have been so crucial.
Yeah.
And like shaping.
But no, it's very, very exciting. I'm looking forward to the future. But how about you, Paz? Like, how are you feeling?
What's the haps? I mean, yeah, third year's pretty intense, like dissertation planning and everything has been pretty hard, and also it's at the point now where it's quite like it's the calm before the storm, which I feel like there is this external pressure of like, well, you should be grinding now so then you can kind of relax later and like work while the storm's quiet and things like that. So I think I haven't really been doing that, to be honest. Like, I've been quite busy. I've got like an internship this year, like on the side of my degree with Newcastle Falcons, which has been really fun. So I do like their nutrition for the junior academy and things like that. So I actually got my first presentation with them today, which will be really fun. Also, that's just teaching me so much more about nutrition and the world of it. I literally went into this year thinking, literally my LinkedIn profile, it's like I'm like aspiring to have a career in high performance management, like in athletes, which is like their S&C in nutrition. But I mean, 3 weeks in third year is a whirlwind. So now I am looking more into the corporate side of things, but also things that like do interest me. So there's like sports consulting, which is basically like sponsorships and aligning kind of like sports with what, so for example, the AFL have just recruited a sponsor, which is like a 0% beer. So it's basically like how it's an athlete and obviously during season they don't really drink that much, so kind of how brands can also align with the sports values and morals and things like that. But also another brand that kind of is like snacking and like things like that, but also they're looking to kind of improve the nutrient density of what they're providing to their consumers. So that's really cool as well. So just looking into all that type of thing, but also again like wanting to make a difference with it all. It's hard and it's really overwhelming, which kind of prompted the subject of today's episode, which is kind of like dealing with rejection is in all walks of life and kind of like persevering when it gets a little bit tough, which I think we've both experienced a lot of recently. And perseverance when running at the moment has also been a huge thing. Like Storm Babette, I literally had one interval run and I knew I had to do, and I had no other time to do it, and I was like, I've got to do it this
morning. Did you do it in the storm?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was the most
literal like soul destroying thing ever, and I was doing intervals, so I was walking for some of it, and I was like, oh my god, walking with this pissed down rain, like it's so cold. Anyway, every time I do a run now, I reward myself with a Starbucks coffee, and if that means one less Jaeger bomb on a night out, it's worth it in my opinion.
I actually took I took inspiration from you because I did a 10k the other week and I was like,
go girl,
and I was like, I'm gonna run to the coffee shop. Yeah, so I planned
it's
my
the
10K
best thing
route,
ever,
because I was like, Paris does this, I know Paris does this, like you have the coffee shop at the end of your running route
every
and
single
I
time
did it, and it worked so much because I was like, when you get to that kind of 5k stage and you're like,
I know.
I've got like so much left.
I
We're
know.
Just thinking about coffee at the
end.
And it's so good.
It's so literally top tip. It's the best thing ever. And also it's just like such little things in life. Like now when I literally really struggle to get up in the morning, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a coffee. Like this morning I wanted to clean my room and I'm sorry, my mind has been so all over the place this week. So I was like, it's definitely because my room is so messy as well. So I was like, as soon as I wake up, I'm going to have a coffee, put a podcast on and clean my room. And that motivation to wake up, that 7:30 alarm, was fine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that was really
nice. A
little
bit of like good strategy.
Yeah. Because I was struggling this week a lot in terms of just getting shit done. But anyway, so today's episode is kind of going to be based around the idea of kind of making peace with things you can't change.
I love that saying. And do you know where
I got
that
did come from, Molly.
Do you know where I got it from? Do you remember in like January, I was obsessed with that song, Escapism. And then at the end it goes, make peace with the things you can't change.
That's so true.
And I just remind myself about like every time I'm in a rut.
Such a good
make peace with the things you can't change.
But also like I said that just like 2 seconds ago, not thinking about the actual and like intention of behind it. So just make peace with the things you can't change. Yeah. Think about what that means.
Thank you so much to, I don't even know who sang that song.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name.
Neither.
But thank you so much for giving me this really important piece of life advice.
That's so true. And like, as we were kind of talking about this, Molly was saying how to kind of relinquish control. And then I was thinking about an episode where we were talking about like the prevalence of rejection in this time of our life in terms of just jobs and the industry and things like that.
Even like friends and like partners though.
Yeah.
Like it's 100% normal. Like I feel like rejection is kind of thought of as this like massively like negative thing. Yeah. Like it should like knock you back and like you should find it really hard to come back from it.
Yeah.
But like it can be really good.
100%. I mean, I Googled it. What does rejection mean? And it was like loneliness, feeling a sense of loss by another like thing in life, a sense of shame. I was like, what is the stigma around the word rejection?
Yeah, it's so negative.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think rejection is good. Like it opens up. If you have the right mindset, it opens up so much. Like,
yeah.
For example, if you've been like rejected from a job that you really want, you yeah. have two options here. Mm-hmm. You can like sit in your bed all day and cry and like yeah. think that you're like a failure and that like, mm-hmm. you know, you're just the worst person in the world, you're not good at anything, or you could just be like, okay, Fez, like let me look for another job.
Yeah.
Or like, let
also
me,
what does sitting in your bed route. All day do for you? Yeah. Absolutely nothing.
Like that's, you can't change the fact you've been rejected. Yeah. Right? But what you can change is what you're gonna do next.
Yeah, 100%. And you can, that's what I was thinking about with this. So when I first came to uni, I'm an international student, so I had to get a job because I don't get a student loan, and all my friends are kind of on that situation where they have an extra $7,000 a year, which does go genuinely towards their like tuition fees, but some of them they do use it for disposable income, right? So, or is it like a maintenance loan or something?
Yeah, it's
like
maintenance.
That
I think you get like your tuition fees paid, yeah, and then like maintenance, but like depends on your parents' income.
Yeah,
and
well, I was just like, okay, I want to be able to keep up with that. I don't want to have to be continuously saying no to things because I can't afford it. Like I get a certain amount of money for my parents a month, which is great. Like I feel so grateful to have that, but also like there are some things that I want to do in terms of like going out, I don't know, sometimes at the moment 3 times a week, even that means at pub, like whatever, which I want to be able to afford. So I came to uni and was like, right, let's find a job. I went and worked in a cafe and did a trial shift for free. The trial shift was literally like 6 hours long. It was the week before Freshers Week, and it was so, and okay, I didn't know this at the time, but the wage was £6 an hour. They were working me dry. Anyway, so I was like, I walked away from that being like, okay, I could so get the job, but then what, like, I'm literally tying myself out for 12 quid for 2 hours. Like, no way. Then I went and did another job where I was working as kind of like a hostess for an event at a restaurant. And oh my God, this restaurant was just like the most, well, we had a social there with a very specific club, a uni club, which were just not cool.
Right.
It was...
All right.
Okay. Anyway, sorry if you heard that. Anyway, and...
I can imagine that not being...
they literally had a glass of champagne. One of them didn't have a raspberry in it. And they said, sorry, where's the raspberry? I said, oh, it must have run out. I'm really sorry about that. But are you all okay to take the glass of champagne? She's like, no, I need a raspberry. I was like, oh my God. So you best believe I went and found a raspberry for this girl. She made the conscious act of putting it back when she'd finished on my like silver tray with the raspberry at the bottom. She didn't even eat it. She just wanted it there.
Oh,
and I was
gosh.
Just like, you, this is not for me either. So it...
How are people like that?
I know.
Like,
I
don't understand the thought process.
I was like, so low-key the university does live up to its name, but that was the only bad experience I've had. I love uni. But anyway, and then you know what, I said, okay, I'm gonna go and do what I like, which is fitness. And I started working in my college gym and I loved it. Like I did fitness classes, got a really good like salary. But if I settled for something that like, I also keeping in mind the second place didn't actually want me, so rejection. Mm-hmm. If I literally got beat up and sat on the floor and just had a tantrum about it, I wouldn't have gone actively searching for something else, which I ended up really enjoying, if not more than anything else. So it actually all worked out. But as you said, if I sat in my room crying that I wasn't getting enough money and I couldn't keep up with my friends and I didn't have a job, whatever, it's such a minor thing, but like in hindsight it put me in such good stead, and I can talk about that in interviews and things like that. So I've also worked for like a retreats company where we had a whole thing going ahead. Turns out we couldn't get enough clients on board and we had to stop the whole thing. We had an amazing influencer on board. I'm just going to say it because She's so cool. Anna Archer, we had her, had meetings with her. She was so keen. It was in Bali and we couldn't get enough clients. So we literally had to cut it. And I was so upset that, like, I was on board with a project that just didn't work out. But I've literally been able to talk about that in so many interviews that have gotten me so far, because I have dealt with rejection. So it's all been positive. And yeah.
There's like so much more to like being rejected than the actual rejection.
Yeah, and exactly.
I don't know. I think over the past kind of year, I've become so much more understanding of the phrase "everything happens for a reason."
Yeah,
I hate the phrase. Like, absolutely. If people say it, I'm like, shut up.
Yeah,
like, just shut the fuck up. But like, if you like take back, or you like brush away the kind of cliche associated with that phrase,
yeah,
and you think about like why things have happened or why things maybe haven't have happened, yeah, it puts you on a really good path to somehow improve.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, even if something really good's happened, like you haven't been rejected, you've been accepted into this wonderful job, like if you just think back and you're like, okay, like why has this happened, like what is it that like I've done, or like maybe even someone else has done that's like helped me get into this position, and then you just use that in like other aspects of your day-to-day life to like continue growing. Same with rejection, like, oh, like why maybe have I not been like accepted into this job, and then you can take that and you can like grow from that. But I think it's just stripping down the reasons why things are happening,
100%,
to like not just you know, something bad happening and being like, oh well, like everything happens for a reason. Like, no, you need to think about it,
because otherwise it's literally just brushing things under the carpet.
Otherwise, like,
when is it gonna help?
What's gonna come of that? Like, how are you gonna improve in the future? Like, I don't know. I think everything is almost like a lesson.
Yeah, that exactly. It doesn't, everything happens for a reason, but everything is, like, that was phrased really well. Everything is a lesson. And I used to, when I hear that phrase, I was like, well, what about mourning loss and mourning people? Like, what do you mean everything happens for a reason? But it's like, okay, there is a personal benefit of how you're learning how to deal with grief. Right?
Yeah.
And that goes back to, like, sorry to like go from two extremes, but for example, at the moment there's a lot of AI interviews for jobs, and that causes me to panic so much, and I have so much to say and I have so much on my plate, but you can't really afford to read off a screen because they're analyzing where your eyes go, how you move your hands, your fluency of communication. And it's like, my first few, I was so bad, and those were the jobs that I really, really wanted. But you know what, learning how I deal with those situations and dealing with the rejection of that has forced me to improve and force myself to kind of find ways to become better, which has, the form of rejection has been also a form of growth for me. And yeah, like a recent, you know, that runner that I use?
Oh yeah.
There was a really cool social media and marketing job that was advertised, and I was like, this sounds so up my alley. Like, you get a free running watch when you work, like of your choice, you get a free homework set up, like all these things. I was like, this sounds amazing, such good, like, get out, like, you enjoy your job, running clubs every week. Anyway, and I recently put my application in, put so much effort into the cover letter, and I got an email back. I was like, sorry, someone else has taken the role. But I got feedback on why I wasn't selected, which then I can improve on and also work towards something else. So although I was gutted, I was like, you know what, there's nothing I can do. They've given someone else the role. The only thing I can do is be appreciative of the advice they've given me to find something that is meant to be for me.
Yeah, and that's so useful as well, like when they actually give you feedback.
Yeah,
because then, like, I don't know, say if that same job came up in the future, or if there was like a similar one with another company, like
100%,
you know exactly now what it is that you like have to include in,
yeah,
which is just so beneficial. And like, that's applicable to everything, I think, like everything in life that happens, like, has that same kind of rationale, or opportunity for like rationale behind it. Like, you just have to think about it, you know?
Well, when you were going to, like, launch a very exciting thing a few months ago, and then you were like, you know what, I don't think I'm ready yet.
Yeah, it wasn't the right time, but I had to do it.
Yeah.
To know that it wasn't the right time. Otherwise, like, I could have easily
been like, it's out there.
And, like, just been like, oh, yeah, like, guys, you know, whatever, I'm now, like, offering this. But it wasn't right, and then I know I would have failed, and that probably would have, like, set my confidence back a bit. And I don't think I would have, like,
but you've learned that through past experiences.
Yeah, I've like, learned that, like as soon as I launched it, I was like, no, this isn't right. Like, yeah. I want to change this, I want to change that. Yeah. And that's okay. Like, I know, like, a lot of people have been like, oh, just start, just start.
No.
And I don't, like...
And you're a perfectionist as it is.
Yeah, I'm a perfectionist, but also, like, just start. I get it. Like, I do get, like, you do have to just start at one, and I do kind of say that in my life still, but, like... If you start something and it's genuinely not right, and like for me, I was like offering a service, mm-hmm. and I just didn't feel like I was able to give the best version of myself yet at that point. So I learned that. Like as soon as I launched, I was like, do you know what?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to like scale it back a little bit. And now that I've like waited a little bit longer and like done a lot more.
There's so much more ideas.
Yeah. I'm ready. Yeah. And I feel like I had to do that because like if I had carried on with this thing that I wasn't like overly happy with, I'd have been like here, like sitting here still like, oh, I'm not feeling great about this, like I'm like doubting myself,
and you knew as soon as you did it. But it's like that's the thing as well, you have to also use past experiences to influence how you make decisions today. You can't let other people's opinions are great, and they can help and motivate you and fuel you to be the best person that you can be. But sometimes you need to trust your gut, know where you've been before, and know how that influences your decision-making skills.
Exactly. Do you know what? That's why I did a history degree. But like when you said that, you were like, oh, like your past experience. Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah.
He's spending years analyzing like
other people's leadership.
Other people's lives. This is what it's like culminated to.
Yeah.
But it is so true. You have to like learn from past experiences to grow. And I'm so glad that I did, like I launched that when I did.
Yeah.
And I was also very like, when I launched it, it wasn't like, because obviously I had this Instagram, it wasn't like to everyone on my Instagram, it was like to my close friends. Yeah. Because I kind of knew that like it wasn't how I wanted it, but I wanted to see what it would be like in practice.
Yeah.
And it took me doing that.
Did you add people to your close friends that you would think would want the service now? Or it was literally just kind of like family and friends?
I think it was just family and friends. I don't know if I added anyone specific.
Yeah.
To the story.
So it's good like gauge of interest.
Yeah, that I kind of just wanted to see how like the kind of like logos would look and like how like the best text to use.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I did it, I was like, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
So then I took that and I was like, okay, like I can stop.
But
right
someone
now
like
change.
Me could have seen it and been like, no, it's so good. It looked amazing. Like definitely keep it. Like don't be so hard on yourself. But again, that's when you kind of have to like put yourself in two minds and be like, I appreciate and I'll take on that feedback, but like at the end of the day, I know myself best and I know my like what I'm capable of. And that's, again, like with rejection, you have to back yourself.
Yes. I think everything you do in life, you need to like back yourself, and that will also help you to make correct decisions, the right decisions. Because if you like kind of go into something like, oh, I'm not too sure, then it's really going to impact the way that you're like making decisions going forward. Like if you apply for a job and automatically you're like, oh, I'm not too sure, like, oh.
Yeah.
That's going to show. That's going to come off in like your applications 100%. And your interviews. And this is also kind of like a side note, but I listened to a podcast the other day and the person was talking about like imposter syndrome. And she was like, if you're starting something new and like you feel like an imposter, good. That's exactly how you're meant to feel. Like if you don't feel like an imposter, you're in the wrong room. And I think that's
really?
Like so... Because, like, if you start something new, like, if you're going into doing all these, like, job applications, you've never done that before. Like, it's normal to feel, like, oh, my God, I'm, like, so out of my depth. And I think, like, you need to always be a bit uncomfortable in order to be able to, like, push yourself.
Well, exactly. This is what this girl said in that. I went to, like, a careers thing the other day, and she was like, don't let the imposter syndrome that is going to be there, like, determine how your outcome. So for example, she was like, how did I get this assessment center? Like, how did I sneak in here? How did this happen? Like, I don't back myself. But through that imposter syndrome, she worked so hard to find out everything she could about the business, be like so up to date on local business news, be so up to date on the company values, and have sticky notes around her laptop. And that imposter syndrome forced her to work harder for the job that she wanted, and she got it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're not feeling like an imposter, you are in the wrong room. Like,
yeah.
Because if you're comfortable, you're not going to put in that effort. Like, if you think, oh, like, this is piss easy. Like, yeah. I'm going to get the job. Like, yeah. You know,
why would you want to do that, though?
Well, yeah.
How does that help you and develop you as a person?
And if you have that mindset, you're not going to put in the effort to, like, research the company values, like, keep up to date with the local news. You're going to be like, oh, it's fine, I'll get it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I did this thing, like, 5 years ago. Of course I'm going to get it, you know? Like,
so true.
So you have to feel that bit of pressure. And I think, like, you also, I feel like imposter syndrome is, again, something that has very, like, negative, like with rejection. Like, you shouldn't feel like an imposter. And too much of it is bad. Like, if it's, like, too much that you're kind of, like, doubting yourself and you, like, drop out.
It's overriding everything else.
Yeah, that's bad, okay? And maybe that's not even, like, imposter syndrome. That's a bit of, like internal anxiety and, like, self-doubt. And it's more about, like, self-confidence you should be working on. But, like...
But it's recognising that, too.
Yeah, yeah. I think a little bit of imposter syndrome, which, like, forces you to work harder, is good. And I think that's a good way to, like, reframe feeling like an imposter.
100%. That was really, really well said. So
I think if you're, like, gonna take anything from this episode, and what we both hope you take from this episode, is how important it is to make peace with those things you can't change. Like, every setback, everything you wish you could change, and everything you, like, try to change and waste your time changing. Just think, how can I, like, rationalize this situation, accept that I can't change this, like, negative thing that may have happened, and focus on now, like, how I can go forward and grow and change the controllables, like, change going forward. What 100%. Am I going to do now? Like, what action plan, like, am I going to put in place?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, as we've said, you can dwell on negative experiences, and you can, like, sit in bed and, like, get really caught up. But that's not going to get you anywhere. Like,
it's not constructive. You're going to feel
worse, okay? Yeah. And it's the harsh truth. Like, okay, maybe something that's actually really good. Sorry, tangent again. Jimmy taught me this, and he said, like, 5 seconds, 5 years. No, 5 minutes, 5 years. Oh, yeah,
I read this on your Instagram.
Yeah, 5 minutes, 5 years. So if something bad happens, right, you have to think, is this thing going to affect me in 5 years' time?
But you could also tell that to your head. You could be like, well, it's the job I wanted, so it is going to affect me in 5 years because I'm not going to be doing that dream job.
Yeah, there's,
like,
other jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you have to think. Like, is this genuinely, like, is this one setback going to affect me in 5 years? Or is there, like, other things? If the answer to that is no, give yourself 5 minutes to, like, be upset. Give yourself 5 minutes to, like, curl up into a ball in your bed and, like, wrap yourself in a blanket. Set a timer. After that 5 minutes is gone, like, get out of your bed.
That thing is gone.
Constructive. Like, forget about it. Move on to the next thing. Guys, 5 minutes, 5 years.
That's a good one.
And just, you can apply that to literally anything in life. Like, I do that. Like, sometimes, I don't know, if, like, my dad's eaten my, like, last bit of, like, bread or something, and I really want to, like, get angry.
Yeah.
I'm not going to remember in 5 years' time if he ate my last roll or not. Like,
facts.
I'll be a bit angry. Maybe I'll be a bit passive-aggressive for 5 minutes, and then I'll just forget about it.
Yeah, that's a really good way.
Go to the shop, get another
one. My parents would really like if I inherited that rule. I completely agree with those key takeaways. I think just being kind to yourself, and also realizing, again, reflection, how is this going to shape my future? You can look at it from a pessimistic point of view, which could be, I'm not this, I'm not that, but I know currently I don't have this, so what am I gonna now do to incorporate that in my future and be the best person I can be? And I was really upset the other day. It was really weird. I was like, I haven't been doing it as much recently, but I'm in love kind of with the idea of self-development and, like, personal growth and, you know, finding ways that I can kind of be the best person I can be. It's a slow process, and I was like, I'm enjoying it so much. What about the day when that isn't going to be there anymore? Kind of like when, I don't know, let's say really random, but I'm enjoying writing a portfolio about my experiences for whatever. I'm enjoying that. Eventually that's not going to be there anymore. But personal growth and self-development is never going to go anywhere. You can never stop growing, developing yourself, trying to be the best you can be. Even when we're not here anymore, like, there is so much chance for just striving to give yourself out in your best way to other people, but also being kind to yourself, realizing the way that you speak to yourself. So think of it like that. There's never going to be a chance when you can't continue to self-improve. So use this as an opportunity that contributes towards that.
I love that. That's so nice.
Thanks. I liked your 5 minutes, 5 years. yeah, but that's all for today's episode. So exciting to be back.
Oh, it's so, it feels so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we were saying, like, when we're on our own, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
It's like a monologue, which TBH, not a big fan of.
We feel like we're speaking at you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like a part of the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we get so much feedback on. It's like you're in a convo with friends. Yeah, so
it's really nice.
I'm glad that we can kind of bring that back and keep it going.
Exactly. So it's so nice to speak to you guys today, and we'll see you in the next episode.
See you then. Bye.